Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here all by my lonesome. Walker Kelly is unavailable, as I had way too much work to do last night at my real job. And Mike is on the mend, so we're hoping to get Mike back next week. But as for right now, it's just going to be me doing this week's preview. We're going to talk week six action in the NFL. Can you believe we're already at week six? The Chiefs already stomped the Broncos, so why don't we start there? I predicted last week in the Tuesday episode that I thought this one was going to be a huge Chiefs blowout. It ended up only being 19-8, Chiefs beating the Broncos, but it was far more dominating than that. It was 19-0 going into the fourth quarter, and it was just kind of a lot of sloppy play on both sides. I say that with Patrick Mahomes ending up with over 300 passing yards, but it was just sort of not a lot there on both sides. You know, the Chiefs ran about 67 plays, which is about average. The Broncos ran only, they had 22 pass attempts, 4 sacks, and 22 carries. So that is 49 plays. That is not a lot. And that is because this offense is terrible. Oh my God. The only good thing that happened on the Broncos side was the crazy Courtland Sutton touchdown catch, but everything else was just an abject disaster. Javonte Williams led the way, 52 rushing yards on 10 carries, had some nice long runs to start the game, just kind of slogged to a halt. Jaleel McLaughlin, everybody's favorite pickup, had 9 touches for 42 yards. Sorry to everybody who spent 40%, 50% of your fab on him. He's just a guy in a horribly muddled backfield. It's going to be Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin, Samaje Perine, who you can drop, by the way. And now it looks like Michael Burton's getting carries. He's the hurry-up guy. He's getting touches. It doesn't make any sense. And Russ is running the football. So the running back room is not one that you want. And if a team's only passing the ball 22 times for 95 yards, there's nobody in the passing game you really want. So good luck to whoever has Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy on your rosters. Good luck to everybody who has Greg Dulcich, because Adam Trautman is going to run a ton of routes. The only bright spot on this entire team is Marvin Mims, and he ran 7 routes and had 0 targets. Sean Payton should be fired into the sun for this indiscretion. He is by far the best player on their offense. I'll say it. Marvin Mims is a monster. He is responsible for like 8 of their 9 top yardage plays of the year. He's just a beast, and he ran as many routes as tight end 3 Chris Manhertz. I don't know what Sean Payton's doing. On the other side of the ball, another rookie was kind of the standout for me, at least. Rashee Rice, 4 for 72. He had a big game, 11 PPR points. You know, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying that as of right now, you know, he is a wide receiver 2 on the week. Let's see if that stands when the rest of the league plays. But this is his second straight game inside the top 24. Should that top 24 stand? Last week he scored a touchdown, but he's woefully underused by the Chiefs. Kadarius Toney is not it. Kadarius Toney is probably just going to be a very strong version of Dexter McCluster or Tavon Austin, we'll say. Guy just can't be a reliable part of your offense. 3 catches for 9 yards. Sky Moore, not reliable. So it's Travis Kelce, and they need a second receiver there. And I think it's going to be Rashee Rice. I think we just have to have some patience with Rice. He's starting to come out a little bit more every week. The 72 yards was a career high for him. You know, but I don't know how much you can trust starting Rashee Rice at this point. The Chiefs do have a week 10 bye, so maybe after that it'll be Rice time. I don't know. You know, you always had to wait for him. He was never going to be instant Rice. Isaiah Pacheco finished the game with 98 total yards on 22 touches, 6 of them catches. Walker had Pacheco as a top 10 play this week. We'll see how that finishes up, but he's off to a strong start, 16 PPR points. Other than that, there's not much to talk about this game. In terms of injuries, Justin Watson dislocated his elbow, but he's a downline receiving weapon for the Chiefs. And then for the Broncos, I mean, the big stories are all about roster moves. Randy Gregory released last week and then traded to the 49ers. Frank Clark Frank Clark released this week, and Jerry Jeudy reportedly about to be traded. Not to Steve Smith's team, not to a team that Steve Smith might advise, perhaps the team he spent his whole career with. So with that done, let's take a look at the rest of the slate this week. The first game up on Sunday is another London game. This time it is the Titans and the Ravens. This one is a 42-point over-under with Baltimore 4-point favorites. Ravens come into this one 3-2. Titans come in 2-3. The only injuries on both sides are relatively minor for the Ravens. Keaton Mitchell is the big injury on this one. And Keaton Mitchell's just a guy that's just a collective fantasy Twitter fever dream right now. He's an undrafted free agent running back who's yet to play down in the NFL. Treylon Burks will miss on the other side for the Titans. So what Walker wanted to know in this game was, is this a Henry game or a Spears game? And I think that that's an interesting question because they kind of go hand in hand most of the time. Tyjae Spears' yards go up, as so do Derrick Henry's in the same game. Except last week, for the first time, as far as I can tell, Tyjae Spears had more yards than Derrick Henry. Spears ended the game with 7 carries for 34 yards and 5 catches for 35 yards. Derrick Henry ended the game 13 carries for 43 yards and 3 receptions for 19 yards. This is a disturbing trend for Derrick Henry. Somebody who drafted Derrick Henry and Scott Fishbowl, I am not entertained. I am not amused by this. This is the first time in his career that he's averaging under 4 yards per carry. And he's done that in, he's been 4.2 or less in 4 out of his 5 games. His one good game from a yards per carry perspective came against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. I think this might be a Spears game. I think this is going to be one where the Titans are going to need to play catch up with the Ravens. You know, last week the Ravens passing game lit Lamar Jackson down, but you can only keep that sort of thing going for so long. You can't count on them having 17,000 drops again like they did last week. So the Titans are going to have to throw to play catch up, and I think that's going to mean more Spears and less Henry. I also think that it means that Chig Okonkwo could have a decent game for the Titans. No Treylon Burks last week either, and Chig had 9 targets. On paper, this isn't a good matchup for Okonkwo, as the Ravens allow the second fewest fantasy points to tight ends. However, they've done that against the likes of Connor Hayward and Tegan Quatoriano, and not guys that we really think of when we think of fantasy assets. They've played one fantasy relevant tight end this year, and that was David Njoku, who had over 10 PPR points. So I think that on the Titans side, I think you have to play Derrick Henry. I think you can flex Tyjae Spears, and I think that if you're desperate, the Chig Okonkwo could be a streamer tight end for you. I prefer Gerald Everett in the Kellen Moore revenge game. Pretend that was all in capital letters, but I do think that that's all that's worth discussing on the Titans side, as DeAndre Hopkins is a must-start every week. For the Ravens, I want to know if the Ravens wide receivers bounce back in this cushy matchup. The Titans are a pass funnel defense. They are one of the worst defenses in the NFL against wide receivers, allowing the 9th most fantasy points to the position in standard scoring and the 7th most to the position in PPR. So it is a good matchup for the Titans to get demolished by the Ravens passing game. But my question and what I really want to see is if they trust, they being Lamar Jackson and the Todd Monken, the wide receivers again in this one, or if they're just going to go through Mark Andrews, a guy that they know that they can trust after the Ravens passing game let them down last week. I don't want to start a Ravens running back, if I'm being brutally honest with you. The Titans, as bad as they are against wide receivers, they are very good against running backs. They allow the 20th most fantasy points to running backs on the year. And that's why they're kind of a pass funnel defense. They are very good against the run and very bad against the pass. So I would definitely lean into the passing game here as much as you can for the Titans. And by as much as you can, I mean, I guess maybe Chig Okonkwo and then DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not feeling a Nick Westbrook-Akina experience. And then on the Ravens side, I would just kind of, if you're going to start a guy, start a guy. You know, we have some injuries. It's hard to say to not start a Zay Flowers at this point. He's very, very good. Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham are just massive question marks. And of course, Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews are must starts. So let's get back to stateside and let's talk about the rest of the slate this week. The first game stateside we're going to talk about, because I'm the only one here and nobody can stop me, is Niners-Browns. Niners travel to the Mistake by the Lake to take on the Deshaun Watson-less and Joel Bitonio-less Cleveland Browns. 49ers have one injury of note, and it's a questionable tag on Elijah Mitchell. Not only did they stomp out the Cowboys last week, they also did it with a shoulder injury to Aaron Banks being the only lingering effect. I guess that's what happens when your good players only play three quarters. The Niners are 5-0. Browns are 2-2. This is a 36-point over-under. Niners 9.5-point favorites. It's interesting because the Niners could do exactly what they usually do, and this could still hit the under. Niners have scored at least 30 points in every game this season, but the Browns are talking about starting P.J. Walker, who P.J. Walker of that one pass to D.J. Moore and basically nothing else. So I'm not too bullish on the Browns pass catchers. I guess you could play Amari Cooper in this game. I wouldn't really play anybody else. Like, I know, to be honest with you, if you can help it, I wouldn't play any Browns. Somebody's going to do something against these 49ers. But last week it was Kevontae Turpin. You know, they just have one drive where they just kind of, it feels like they have to sacrifice one drive per game towards the end of the first half to dominate the rest of the game on defense. So I am really worried about starting any Browns player in this one with P.J. Walker under center and without Joel Bitonio as said center. The questions for me was I was going to ask Walker if we were going to bench all the Browns, and I think you pretty much have to. I also was wondering if you should bench 49ers players. Debo Samuel specifically. Debo Samuel has more more rushes than targets in the last couple of games. He was dealing with an injury, so he has been kind of a decoy a couple weeks ago. And then this last week, he only had to go 3 for 55 on the through the air. He did get 30 yards rushing. But that was the the Dallas Cowboys defense, which apparently is not very good. But I think you might just play it safe. I would say play it safe in this one. If you can, I would bench Debo Samuel. Walker does have Debo and Ayuk as benches of the week. I wouldn't do that. Ayuk has become the true alpha in this passing game. He is the wide receiver that Brock Purdy latches onto as much as humanly possible. Got to start George Kittle again this week. Christian McCaffrey, that boy is good. You should start him. You should probably get away from Brock Purdy in your one quarterback leagues, but your two quarterback leagues, not much to go on there. Walker's question was kind of like mine. Are we confident about anyone in this game other than CMC? No. I just ran through everybody, and I said that your best bet is CMC, but I don't want to start a Brown. I don't want to start a 49er other than CMC, although you can and you probably should, and I will start Brandon Ayuk. But this is going to be a weirdly down game because the 49ers defense is incredible, as is the Browns. But we saw last week the 49ers offense did dismantle the Cowboys defense. I struggle to think that they'll do that 2 weeks in a row. So I still think the Niners are going to win, but this one, normally a lot of fantasy options from San Francisco, just struggling to find that in this one. Except for Jordan Mason, who led the team in rushing last week. That was a joke, but I did say to start him. Let's move on from the Niners stomping the Browns at the Mistake by the Lake, the Factory of Sadness. Let's move down to the Big A, Atlanta. Falcons are 2.5-point home favorites against the 2-3 Commanders. Falcons are 3-2. This one does carry a 42.5-point over-under. There are no relevant injury designations in this game. Jonnu Smith was dealing with an ankle injury going into this one, and he was cleared from that. He was not on the injury report this week. I just want to say my question, and it was semi-facetious, but it was going to be one of those ones where I basically forced Walker to agree with me. My question was, does this game have three good options at tight end and no good wide receiver options? So we all know Kyle Pitts had his first good game of the year last week. He had 11 targets, 7 catches, 87 yards, 15.7 PPR points, which is almost half of his PPR points on the season. And then you have two other top 10 tight ends right now. Logan Smith is ninth in PPR. Jonnu Smith is 12th. Again, Jonnu Smith, another guy I'm going to pat myself on the back for. And this is a matchup where you can exploit the defenses in this game. The Falcons are 6th in tight end fantasy points allowed. The Commanders are 7th. So, you know, you have guys that are good options. And if you switch over to PPR, Falcons are 2nd. Commanders are 6th. So you have three guys in this game that are good options. And then you go to the rest of the team and, you know, it's the Falcons allow the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. The Commanders allow the 13th most, but it's Drake London and suddenly Van Jefferson and maybe Matt Collins. It's, you know, maybe Drake London. Like, that's the best that I feel about this passing game is maybe Drake London, perhaps Terry McLaurin, but those guys are both like low-end wide receiver twos, high-end wide receiver threes at best. They're both top 30 guys. If you're in a three wide receiver league, you have to start them. But do I feel good about any of it? No. Like, honestly, if I was down to a flex and I was trying to figure out if I was starting Drake London or one of the tight ends in this game, I would go one of the tight ends in this game. Terry McLaurin, it gets a little bit trickier because Terry McLaurin's a very good player. I mean, Drake London's a very good player as well, but the Commanders just throw so much more than the Falcons. And, you know, Sam Howell was dreadful last week, but he has shown some highs this year. So I would say there's probably one good option, Terry McLaurin, one okay option, Drake London, and three very good tight end options in this game. Walker's question was very similar. Can we play any Commanders? You don't want to start Sam Howell. Sam Howell, thank you for your one good week in service of spelling my Justin Herbert everywhere last week. But, you know, the question being, can we start any Commanders? Falcons, 22nd in fantasy points allowed to quarterback. Not great there. Falcons are... I lost the Falcons. This feels crazier when it's just me. They're 4th in running back. Fantasy points. I already talked about wide receiver and tight end. I think, yeah, you can play Commanders. You can play Brian Robinson, who's blech. I think Antonio Gibson is sneakily becoming Antonio Gibson again. And then you can start Logan Thomas. So give me, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Commanders in this. I'm sorry, I'm going to go Falcons in this one. Walker has the Commanders. Falcons move to a dominating 4-2. Commanders move to 2-4 after this one. Let's move on to the next game. I say let's like it's not just me sitting here in my living room. Next game up on the slate is going to be Vikings and Bears. Both teams are 1-4. Minnesota, 3-point road favorites in this one, and it's a 44-point over under. Injuries in this one, obviously the big injury in this game is no Justin Jefferson. You saw Brandon Powell step up last week for them. I do think that this is a Jordan Addison game. Jordan Addison was removed from the injury report with an ankle injury. Vikings also placed Nick Mullins on IR. Those are the injuries in this one, and you know, times are bad when you have to put one first round wide receiver on IR, activate another one off of practice squad. N'Keal Harry is now on the active roster. So go pick up N'Keal Harry. Please don't do that. Deonta Foreman is expected to start for the Bears in this one because Travis Homer is out. Roschon Johnson is out. And Khalil Herbert was placed on IR with his ankle injury. So it's going to be Deonta Foreman show. But please keep in mind that the Vikings, despite being terrible, do have a good defense against opposing running backs, allowing the 11th fewest points to the position. While it Walker's question is Deonta Foreman season, and I mean, I think it'll be Deonta Foreman season the same way that's been Damian Pierce season. I do think Deonta Foreman's better, but I think that this offense is not very good. Sorry, Waleed. Sorry, Tony. Sorry to everybody else in Football Absurdity who's seemingly a Bears fan. But I don't think it's going to be a Deonta Foreman season. I think it'll be a lot of touches. If he gets a touchdown, you're going to be happy. But, you know, there's no guarantee of him getting that touchdown. And then we get to the Minnesota side. I want to know what this offense looks like without Justin Jefferson, because he was the central figure of the offense. Like, TJ Hawkinson got a ton of targets. Jordan Addison was working his way into it. KJ Osborne was getting plenty of balls to drop. Alexander Mattison looking like just a guy. Cam Akers looking like just a guy junior. And so this offense doesn't really have an identity. I mean, their identity was to throw the ball a ton. Was that because they had Justin Jefferson, or was did Justin Jefferson fit that identity? So I'm curious, and I'm wondering if this means that we're going to get a lot more Alexander Mattison in this one and a lot more Cam Akers without Justin Jefferson. You know, it's easy to throw the ball all over the yard when you have the best wide receiver in the league, but I'm really curious what this offense looks like without Justin Jefferson. Like I said, this is Jordan Addison season. Start him everywhere. TJ Hawkins is a set and forget wide receiver at running back. I mean, things can't get worse for Alexander Mattison. So if you're already starting him, go ahead, keep doing it. Cam Akers is a guy is just a bench stash. Don't start him. Kirk Cousins, if you have a better option, you probably want to maybe look elsewhere other than Kirk Cousins this week, because, like I said, this could be a game where the Vikings end up just running the ball a ton rather than passing as much as they do normally. And Kirk Cousins benefits from that, obviously. Taking a look at Walker's ranks this week, Kirk Cousins is quarterback. This is fun, cold reading this. I think I might be putting Walker on blast because I don't think. Oh, he has him. Walker has Kirk Cousins as quarterback 3. I did not even look that up. Look that high. So Walker is all in on Kirk Cousins. I'm a little bit more bearish. I'm just a little bit more of a cautious fantasy player. So I'll defer to Walker in this one in terms of Walker would probably have a stronger case to go all in on Kirk Cousins this week, because this is a pretty bad Bears defense. Like, as bad as their offense is, they're defense is just as bad. They're 5th against opposing quarterbacks. Justin Fields is a must start as well. Vikings 4th in fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Walker and I both have Minnesota winning this one, even though there's no Justin Jefferson. And Walker was right. Last week I went off about how much the Vikings suck, and perhaps that was a bit premature. They're just getting unlucky. Last season they were very lucky in their one score games. This season, they're getting very unlucky, so it's somewhat evening out, and I think I might be unfairly calling them, the Minnesota losers, you know, the Vi princes, not Vi kings, saying that Kirk Cousins doesn't look cool with a bunch of chains on, you know, just really hurtful things that I don't really mean, all right, except for the last one. I do really mean that. Let's move on to the next game. Seahawks and Bengals. Seahawks are 3-1. They travel to Cincinnati to take on the 2-3 Bengals. This is a 2.5-point Cincinnati favorites. And that's kind of the, like, hey, this is a toss-up game. Let's give the home team a couple points. 2 to 3 points, that's what that is. 45-point over-under in this one. T. Higgins is questionable with the ribs injury. He is a game-time decision. Chidobe Awuzie is questionable with a back injury for the Bengals as well. He's a cornerback. For the Seahawks, Charles Cross is off the injury report after missing the last three games, so that's going to be good. He's the left tackle for the Seahawks. And DK Metcalf used his Wolverine healing powers to heal his ribs. He is also off the injury report. Jamal Adams cleared concussion protocol, so I'll put the over-under at snaps he plays before he gets hurt again at 7. So let's see how that goes. My question was going to be, is this going to be the first big game of JSN's career? The Bengals are 7th in fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers, so it's going to be a good matchup for him to feast on. The only problem is that his ADOT has been terrible. He's averaging 5 yards of ADOT. He's just getting the ball like at the line of scrimmage, and there's not much that he can do about that. Sure, he's getting 5 targets a game, but they're 5 targets that he can't do anything with. Think about, technically a screen pass is a target, that if it gets blown up or not. Think of a bunch of those. Dump offs in the flat. Not really much that he can do with them, just Geno Smith trying to avoid a sack. Traditionally, you see the bye week as the time that teams kind of rejigger what they're doing, maybe get their rookies involved a little bit more. So let's see if JSN is able to do something if that happens. As a frantic Jaxon Smith-Njigba manager in a lot of dynasty leagues, I fervently hope that this will be a portend of good things to come for JSN, and I'm talking like it's already happened. Just have one good game, please, Jaxon. Please, it's not your fault that you got drafted to a team with two very good wide receivers and an offensive philosophy that can't carry three. Please. Walker wants to know if T. Higgins will be an afterthought with Chase balling out. I don't think so. I think that Chase balling out was last week where he had all three touchdowns, 192 receiving yards, and I want to say 14 catches. Chase balling out was because Joe Burrow was just leaning on him. And there's this thing that happens that people freak out about, that if something is working, you keep doing it until the other team makes you stop. A classic example of this is people like to talk about how, oh, the 49ers didn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, which maybe they didn't, but they use the world's worst example, which is the NFC Championship game, where they let Raheem Mostert run the ball down the Packers' throats. They kept running the ball because they didn't stop him. Same thing with last week. They kept throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase because they wouldn't stop him. So I think this is, if T. Higgins plays, I think he's a start in a two wide receiver league. But I do think that we're getting to the point where, you know, the distance between T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase is readily apparent. I think that T. Higgins, I mean, he quote unquote drops down to wide receiver 15, 16 weekly for fantasy. So I don't think he'll be an afterthought. I do think that, you know, Tyler Boyd could do some stuff against this terrible Seahawks passing defense. Seahawks allow 19th most fantasy points to wide receivers on the year, but they just don't have to throw a ton against them. That's what it is. So I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one. No, I'm going to take the Bengals. I don't see the Bengals falling to 2-4. Give me the Bengals going 3-3 and the Seahawks falling to 3-2. Let's keep this ball rolling on to the next game. The Miami Dolphins travel to Carolina to absolutely smack down the Carolina Panthers. The Miami Dolphins are 4-1. I got that backwards. The Panthers have to make the road trip to get smacked down. Panthers are on 5, Dolphins are 4-1. Miami 13.5 point favorites, 47.5 point over under. As I mentioned earlier, Devon Achane went to IR with his knee injury. Jeff Wilson was activated from IR, but he is doubtful to play. He was designated to return when ready, but he's still dealing with a ribs injury and a broken finger. Salvin Ahmed looks to be second in line for touches. For the Panthers, rest in peace to my big, beautiful boy, Ian Thomas. He was placed on IR with a calf injury. Who knows if that season ending? We will see. It doesn't sound like they think it is at this point. Von Bell will also miss his game, which is, whoo boy, that's not great. Going up against Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle without one of your starting safeties, that's bad. Speaking of bad, Miles Sanders will also be out of this game. Not saying that Miles Sanders is bad, Kev. I'm saying that it's bad that Miles Sanders won't play, so it'll be Chuba Hubbard time in Carolina. Walker wanted to know, is Jeff Wilson startable? And Walker put this question in before Jeff Wilson got the doubtful tag. I think in a game like this, if a player is going to be doubtful, like Jeff Wilson coming back from injury, especially with Achane hurting, I think they're going to err on the side of caution in the 13.5 point spread game and not play Jeff Wilson. So instead, let's talk about Salvin Ahmed. I do think that Ahmed is playable. You know, the Panthers are the second worst team in fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. And the only reason they're second is because the Miami Dolphins absolutely destroyed the Denver Broncos, who are the number one team in fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. I will and am starting Salvin Ahmed places this week. I am willing to do it, and I am more than happy to do it. We've seen Ahmed in the past be a fantasy, a fantasy relevant running back, we'll say, but we haven't really seen him deployed in this scheme too much. He was averaging like 5.8 yards per touch when he got hurt after the first couple of games, I want to say, but he will have a greater opportunity in this game. So I think that is where that sits. As for the other side, I was proposing, so we'll skip this because I was proposing a blanket ban on Panthers chat. This offense is what it is. Bryce Young has first top 10 QB game last week. Good for him in fantasy. It's Adam Thielen going as far as he can take them, and it is some sort of running back turning in a running back 28 performance. That's what this offense is, and it's not one that I particularly want to talk about. So you start Adam Thielen. You can start Chuba Hubbard. It is a flex play. For the Dolphins, you start all your Dolphins that you're going to start. You start Raheem Mostert. You start both the wide receivers. You start Tua. And if you're desperate, you can start Salvin Ahmed. I forgot to talk about starts and sits in the Bengals-Seahawks game. I would start all three Bengals wide receivers. You know, obviously, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, much higher options. Tyler Boyd, I would start more as a flex play. He's just kind of a high floor, low ceiling guy at this point. Don't start any tight ends in this game and start Joe Burrow. Joe Mixon is a volume-based RB2. Kenneth Walker is a talent-based RB2. Kenneth Walker is better than Joe Mixon ever has been and ever will be. Let's move on to a revenge game. The Jacksonville Jaguars host the Indianapolis Colts. And it is a homecoming for one Gardner Minshew, with Anthony Richardson placed on IR this week by the Colts. Minshew gets a crack at the starting job for now, at least. Mo Alie-Cox is out in this one. Mo Alie-Cox is in this one with a concussion. He's cleared protocols. He will play. Shaq Griffin was removed from the injury report with a groin injury. Evan Hull is done for the year, it seems, and right tackle Braden Smith will not play this week. Jonathan Taylor's supposedly going to have a ramped up workload this week. Last week he kind of gave us a fooled you game. Didn't really do much, and we kind of sort of should have seen that coming. For the Jags, Dwayne Smoot is off of the pup list from an Achilles injury. Zay Jones will not play with a knee injury in this one. And Walker Little is up in the air, but he's going to be left guard in this one. He started at left tackle, but Cam Robinson's back. He would play guard if he plays. So in this one, my question was going to be, does Gardner Minshew lead to sustainable production from Josh Downs? And the reason I ask this is because Gardner Minshew's started one game this year for the Colts already, and he threw the ball 44 times. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm just the humble service advisor. But that seems like a lot, and that's because it is a lot. And there's not a lot of options for those balls to go to if he's going to be throwing the ball. You know, he's not going to throw the ball 44 times a game, but say 36, 37, 38. Where are those targets going to go? They have four wide receivers on their roster. Alec Pierce is barely a wide receiver. He's more of a decoy. So it's going to go to Pittman, the bevy of tight ends. It's going to go to Josh Downs and then a little bit to the running backs. So I think that... as long as Gardner Minshew is starting, I think that Josh Downs should be on a roster. I think he's in a weekly discussion as your wide receiver three. I think it's going to be a boom bust sort of thing, but he's a good player. You know, he's sort of like a Jerry Jeudy player if Jerry Jeudy was good and not bad and not yelling at Steve Smith. Please don't yell at me, Jerry Jeudy. You cannot call me the word you called Steve Smith. I guess you can, but you'd be inaccurate. Walker wanted to know how many Jags are set and forget starters. Four. I will not elaborate. Okay, I will elaborate. The four set and forget starters are both wide receivers. Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk, both the guys are going to be somewhere between a wide receiver one and a wide receiver three every week. So, you know, Walker will probably put them wide receiver 15 and 17 in their ranks every week. Evan Ingram, smash start at tight end. Trevor Lawrence, good start at quarterback. Not a great start. Not a great start. He is not on my list because Travis Etienne is a smash start. There are four guys on this team that are set and forget starters. Trevor Lawrence is a good starter, but I would not call him set and forget, especially because Trevor Lawrence, you could have gotten him in a two-step with like a Kirk Cousins, who, for example, this week Walker has quarterback three, or maybe a Brock Purdy, who is better than Trevor Lawrence for fantasy more often or not than not. Not in real life, but in fantasy. So I would say there are 4 cent forget starters on the Jags. So that leaves Trevor Lawrence to talk about, I guess. Colts are top 10 in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. So if you have a Trevor Lawrence on your roster, I think that he is a decent start. You know, this is these two teams already played this season. So the fact that the Colts are top 10 against quarterbacks does bake in their game against they're top 10 in fantasy points scored. I was looking at the complete wrong thing here. I was looking at fantasy points scored, not fantasy points allowed. Oh boy. So forget what I said about that. I could delete this, but you know, I'm staying real. Play Trevor Lawrence this week. Colts are not a good defense. So let's forget that I did all of that, and let's move on to talking about the running backs. Jonathan Taylor, Zach Moss. I guess you have to start both. You know, we benched Jonathan Taylor last. I'm sorry, we benched Zach Moss last week for Jonathan Taylor, and we'll see if that works out well for them this week. I think that's going to be a lot more Jonathan Taylor, but I also think that Zach Moss is going to get involved. Like I said earlier, they said that Shane Steichen said that they would ramp up Jonathan Taylor. So I think that, you know, you can start both this week against this Jags defense. But, you know, you will probably be disappointed by one of them. If you have to choose between Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor, I'm going to go by the who would I be more pissed off about going off on my bench theorem. And I would go with Jonathan Taylor as the starter and Zach Moss on the bench. So let's move on to another 10 a.m. game. And this is the last 10 a.m. game. When it's just me, we are cooking. So let's talk about Saints and Texans. The Saints in this one are 1.5 point favorites, 42.5 point over under. They are road favorites as the Saints 3-2 travel to Houston 2-3. Injuries in this one for the Texans. Tank Dell is questionable. It's not looking like he's got clear concussion protocol, though. Robert Woods was limited with a ribs issue this week, looking as though he's going to play. Noah Brown set to return from IR. And then on the other side for the Saints, tight end Juwan Johnson is out, but wide receiver Chris Olave, who was limited with a toe injury last week and all throughout practice this week, he is off the injury report and he is set to go. So Walker and I kind of had overlapping questions in this one. Walker wanted to know, is there a must-start Saint in the matchup, excluding Alvin Kamara? And my question was, is there a must-start Texan in the matchup? I don't think there is a must-start player in this game other than Alvin Kamara. A few weeks ago, we would have said Nico Collins. After one big game, we would have said Tank Dell. But, you know, Chris Olave is... He and Derek Carr have not been great, and a lot of that is injuries. You know, you think of Chris Olave and you think of this high-flying guy from last season, which he should be, but he's been kind of a mismatch with Derek Carr over the last two games, and I think a lot of that just has to do with injuries. Derek Carr with the shoulder, Chris Olave with the toe, because first three games of the season, he was still that high-flying guy from last year. So I don't think that Chris Olave is a must-start. I think that you probably should start him, but if you want to be cautious after what happened last week, I fully get that. Me, wherever I have Chris Olave, he's in my starting lineup. I'm not worried about it, but I'm also, again, a very kind of cautious, set in my ways player. Chris Olave is a good football player. I'm going to start him. I'm not going to outthink this. But is he a must-start? Absolutely not. You know, we saw what happened last week with the toe injury and the shoulder injury overlapping. On the Texan side, like I said a few weeks ago, I would have said Nico Collins, but, you know, Walker has Nico Collins as wide receiver 21 this week. So he's behind both both Jags guys. He's behind Garrett Wilson, Jacoby Myers, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Pittman, all guys that you can conceivably have on your roster. So there's a high chance that you don't start Nico Collins this week. And same with Chris Olave, who Walker has 31. I don't like Damian Pierce. I don't think he's a good running back. I think he's just going to get decent volume, and he's going to volume his way into being RB24 this week for Walker. And that's just not – I don't have Damian Pierce anywhere, so that's not something that I'm particularly worried about. This is a quick game to talk about. I also think this will be a game that the Houston Texans once again – actually, you know what? I think the New Orleans Saints. Give me the Saints. I think their defense will carry the day. Let's go to the 105 game, where we have the Garoppolo Bowl, the McDaniels Bowl. Patriots travel to Las Vegas, take on the Raiders. Patriots are 1-4, two of the stinkiest games you'll ever see play in the last 2 weeks, going against the Raiders, who are 2-3. Vegas, 2.5-point favorites, 41.5-point over-under. And good God, Bill Belichick would give anything. He would give one of his Super Bowl rings to only lose a game by 2.5 points right now. Given that he's lost by 69 points over the last two games combined. Not nice. Walker wanted to know, is Jacoby Myers in must-start territory? Yes, move on. There's no discussion here. Jacoby Myers is a stud. He says there's no discussion here, and then he goes on to have a little bit of a discussion. So Jacoby Myers with Jimmy Garoppolo has been a beast this year. In the three games that he and Garoppolo have played together, he has 10, 12, and 10 targets and 9, 7, and 7 catches. He also has three touchdowns in those games and is averaging between 75 and 80 points. I'm sorry, that would be a lot. You should definitely start him. 75 and 80 yards, we'll say instead. So Jacoby Myers is a set-and-forget player. So that makes three set-and-forget players on the Las Vegas Raiders offense. Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, Josh Jacobs. I know Josh Jacobs has been struggling, but he's coming out of it. So Jacoby Myers is in must-start territory. Jimmy Garoppolo is not. For me, I kind of put my foot down because I forgot about... I put Jacobs, Waller, Ramondre, move on. And what I meant to say was Jacobs, Adams, Jacoby, Ramondre, and move on. That's it. There's nobody on the Patriots side of the ball other than Ramondre Stevenson that you would even start to think about playing. With that in mind, Ramondre Stevenson is an RB2. I mean, that's where he should slot in for you. He's been struggling, but passing volume will be key. Passing volume will be good, and so that'll make up for any deficiencies in a PPR league. So I would go with him as the only Patriot that you're starting in this game. Let's move on to an NFC West matchup. Cardinals at Rams. Cardinals are 1-4. Rams are 2-3. Rams, 7-point favorite. 48.5-point over-under. Keontae Ingram for the Cardinals was removed from the injury report. Too bad he's not good. James Conner went on IR. He is good. Marquise Brown is questionable with an illness, but practiced each of the last 2 days. He should be good to go with bubble guts. For the Rams, Joe Noteboom is questionable for week 6, and Van Jefferson is now off the team. Bobby Brown, nose tackle, has a grade 3 ACL sprain and is going to be out, miss this one, and about the next 4 to 6 weeks after that. My question was, is the Cardinals offense on the precipice of disaster? There's no James Conner in this one. The offense had two good players and one player who is good for fantasy because the other two players were on the field. Those two good players are Marquise Brown, James Conner. The one that's good for fantasy because of the other two is Zach Ertz. There's no James Conner in this one, which means they're going to turn to Keontae Ingram and Amari DeMarcado. Sorry, he falls under not a person. There are certain people, I don't believe you exist. These names will pop up. It's like Joe Jones. It's like, okay, you're not a real person. Same with Amari DeMarcado. Sorry, you don't exist. And watch, he's going to get, 17 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown this week because I said that. But this offense is going to be a mess. It's going to be really bad. The offensive line is just okay. Josh Dobbs, to quote friend of the show, Akash, his Linsanity run is over. And with no James Conner, that means it's going to be not a lot to get excited about. So I do worry a bit about Zach Ertz. I do worry a bit about Marquise Brown. I do think that Marquise Brown will still get enough volume for you to start him every week, but you know, just going through Walker's ranks, for example, in this game, Amari DeMarcado, running back 29 for him, Zach Ertz, tight end 10 for him, and Marquise Brown, wide receiver 29. On the flip side, you look at the Rams, and we'll talk about the Rams here real quick. Are Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both top 12 rest this season, which was Walker's question? I kind of think they are. They're both going to get over 10 targets per game. This is going to be an offense that's going to throw the ball a ton because Kyren Williams is good, but he's not that good. You know, he's no Cam Akers, of course, folks. I think they'll both be great set and forget options for the rest of the season. You know, Puka was great without Cooper Kupp. He's been good in two games with Cooper Kupp back. He's been very effective. Cooper Kupp is still the same guy. Walker has Matthew Stafford 11th, and I think that Walker maybe should have boosted Matthew Stafford up a little bit. I would start Matthew Stafford above, like I said, maybe Trevor Lawrence. I would probably start him above Lamar Jackson going across the pond, but I would stop him at Tua Tagovailoa, where Walker has at 9th. So Matthew Stafford, bump him up a couple ranks, Walker. Respect the man. You have no respect for Matthew Stafford, and that's been clear throughout our years together. For the running back, you know, like I said, Kyren Williams is an okay play. Walker has Ronnie Rivers at 40. I have Ronnie Rivers at, as the, deep dive stream of the week at running back. The Cardinals allow the fourth most fantasy points to the position. So, the reason that I'm not super bullish on Rivers is that he did, only have one touch last week after getting 11 in the week before that, and is the first game where he got touches. So not something that we can really count on just yet, but I do believe in the matchup, and I think that that's where Walker's head is at too. Tutu Atwell has turned into a touchdown based wide receiver 3/4. Walker has Tutu as their wide receiver 44 on the week. So let's go to oh, I'm sorry, and I forgot to mention, last game I had the Raiders winning that one, and this game I am going to go with the Rams winning this one. Same old sorry-ass Cardinals. This next game, I don't think I have to tell you, Philly will win this game against the Jets. Philly 5-0, Jets 2-3, which is weird because that's not usually the record of Birds versus Jets. Usually the Jets win that matchup. Ha ha ha. That's me stalling because I did not pull up the injury reports for these two teams yet. For the Eagles, Justin Evans was placed on IR with a knee injury. That is a safety for them. Darius Slay will be out with a knee injury as well. Quez Watkins will be out with a hamstring injury. And Jalen Carter is expected to miss the game, but there's been no update on that since yesterday, the 13th. For the Jets, Justin Hardy expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. Cornerback DJ Reed will miss the game with a concussion. Sauce Gardner has an illness and is questionable for week 6. Really weird how nobody in the NFL gets COVID anymore, but a lot of people get illness. Elijah Vera Tucker suffered a torn Achilles last week and is out for the season, more than likely. You know, maybe he gets on the Aaron Rodgers regimen of, getting millions of dollars from Pat McAfee to say, I really love Catcher in the Rye. It's a really insightful book and other gibberish nonsense like that. Walker's question was Breece Hall or DeAndre Swift. I think it's Breece Hall, and you know, it is particularly close. I mean, which is crazy to think about. Walker has Breece Hall below DeAndre Swift this week. Walker has DeAndre Swift at 16, Breece Hall at 19. I think Breece Hall is what's going to make the offense go. I think Swift can also, you know, he's been very good this year. But you have this Philadelphia defense that has been really stingy against opposing running backs. Their third fewest in fantasy points allowed to the position. But they haven't really played much of anybody. Like, Ramondre Stevenson and Brian Robinson lead the way for them in fantasy points scored this season. But moderate guys are kind of just being moderate against them. You know, they'll have their four games against them. Alexander Mattison, 6 PPR points. Kyren Williams, 7.7. Rashad White, 8.2. So I think that the good players are playing well against them and the bad players are playing poorly. So I think that Breece Hall does fall into the good category there. Swift does have the better matchup. Jets are 10th in fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs, including both Jaleel McLaughlin and Samaje Perine, tricking us into thinking that they are good fantasy options last week. Did not happen this week for either of those players because neither of them is that good. I went on the same tip, Garrett Wilson or Devonta Smith. Devonta Smith has not been getting the targets very much at all. It's been the AJ Brown show recently. And so I, you know, with the bad quarterback throwing to Garrett Wilson and the good quarterback throwing to Devonta Smith, I was curious what Walker thought. And Walker's not here, but Walker does have Garrett Wilson ranked 18th and Devonta Smith ranked 33rd. So that does answer that question. Garrett Wilson is getting the volume. Devonta Smith is not. Like, I think Devonta Smith is a very good player. I think that he has a better situation. But, you know, Garrett Wilson is no slouch from a player perspective. But he just has a worse offense around him. But Devonta Smith just hasn't been getting the targets. He had 9 targets in 2 weeks ago, which was the first time he'd gotten over 5 targets since week 1. So he has 1 catch for 6 yards, 7 for 78, 4 for 28 in his last 3 games. That's difficult. That's a difficult thing to try to lean into. But, you know, you're still starting him because of how talented he is, especially in a 3 wide receiver league. Walker and I both have the Eagles winning this one. And speaking of games that we are both on the same side, we both have the Detroit Lions beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lions are 4-1. Buccaneers, I had to laugh because the Buccaneers are 3-1. I'm sorry, that doesn't count. That is a fraudulent 3-1 team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Injuries in this one for the Detroit Lions. Sam Laporta is questionable, but he expects to play on Sunday. Jahmyr Gibbs is out for this one. Zonovan Knight is out for the rest of the season. The Bam Knight goes to sleep. Amon Ross St. Brown off the injury report with his abdomen issue, which is great. I had people going, oh no, this could be sports hernia. You know, it's like, bro, just chill out. Just chill out, man. People pull things. It's okay. Mike Evans was injured. Limited all week, limited through the bye, but he was a full go for this week, according to Todd Bowles. So unless you believe Bowles to be a liar, you can fire up your Mike Evans as you normally would. Questions in this one. I want to know if we can please start seeing less Rashad White. I'm kind of sick of Rashad White. He's not very good. You know, it's questionable if Sean Tucker, who is my my boo, my crush in this backfield, if he is any good. It's looking like he might not be. But, you know, I am a little bit tired of Rashad White. Walker has Rashad White 31 this week. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are the only guys on the Tampa Bay side that Walker is recommending you start. Baker Mayfield at 15. It's higher than you would expect, above guys like Sam Howell, Geno Smith, and Jared Goff in the same game, as well as Brock Purdy. I have Baker Mayfield as a streamer this week. So Walker and I are kismet in that, or not kismet. That's not the word. Simpatico. Walker and I are hand in hand in that one. That's it for the Buccaneers. For the Lions, I mean, how do you get away from David Montgomery at this point? And Tampa Bay has a strong run defense, but they're going to give him the ball 25 times, especially with no Jahmyr Gibbs there. Amon Ross St. Brown is set for get stud. I already mentioned Jared Goff at 18. I tend to agree with that. Sam Laporta, if he plays, he is a smash start. Walker has Sam Laporta at 6th. The only guy that you can conceivably pick up and play over him is Logan Thomas, but you either have Sam Laporta and you're starting him, or you can get that Logan Thomas, Dallas Goedert, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, or Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce already played. So that's the list. Hawk, Andrews, Goddard, Thomas. Those are the guys that you would start over Laporta. Personally, I would still start Laporta over Logan Thomas. So that makes the list. Hawk, Andrews, Goddard. Walker wanted to know if Josh Reynolds can keep up this pace. And by this pace, I mean, Josh Reynolds has been very good. And we're yet to see a full complement of you know, pass catchers for the Lions. So this is where I would ask Walker, what do you mean by this pace? But, you know, Josh Reynolds has been good for fantasy, except for the 1 week that I started him against Atlanta where he had zero targets. But every other week, you know, starting week one, 4 for 80, 5 for 66, and 2 touchdowns, 3 for 69, 4 for 76, and a touchdown. He's playing the role that I think Jameson Williams is going to take over if Jameson Williams can take it over. I think this Josh Reynolds question is sneakily, stealthily a Jameson Williams question because, you know, Josh Reynolds is doing what they drafted Jameson Williams to do. Last week, Jameson Williams had 2 receptions for 2 yards on 3 targets. They were just trying to get him involved. They didn't know until like the week of the game that he was even going to be available. And it wasn't like an injury thing where he was in the facility. He was suspended. He could not be around the team. So he came in and he was really flying by the seat of his pants. And I hope that, you know, I hope that for the Lions' sake, I hope that Josh Reynolds can't keep this up. And that's because Jameson Williams is out there doing his dang thing. Let's move on to the next game, which is going to be Sunday Night Football, Giants and Bills. So injuries in this one, Saquon Barkley is obviously the big injury on the Giants, and he is questionable for this week. So hopefully he's going to play. It sounds like he is truly questionable, 50-50. If he's available, you know, if you have him, I would still start him. There are some, you know, pivot players available. If you put him in your flex, you get one of the Lions wide receivers. You can get a down roster Bills guy. You can get Gerald Everett on the Monday night game. You can get one of the tight ends there. There are options to pivot from if Saquon Barkley isn't available and you put him in your flex. On the Bills side, both tight ends are banged up. Dalton Kincaid dealing with a concussion. Dawson Knox dealing with a wrist injury. He looks likely to suit up. Dawson Knox does. Dalton Kincaid was limited in practice throughout the week, but he's yet to clear concussion protocol. But I'm going to be really honest with you. Dalton Kincaid has not been worth starting. So move on from Dalton Kincaid if you can't risk it. If you really, really feel like you need to start Dalton Kincaid, just go start Gerald Everett instead. That is the only new injury for the Bills this week, except for obviously Matt Milano broke his leg last week in the London game, so that stinks, but that's what he's dealing with there. To replace him, the Bills signed Josh Norman, last seen getting 1 million holding penalties for the 49ers. Walker's question was, are we playing any Giants? And I think I kind of went through that, but you would start Saquon Barkley. I'm not pausing for time. That's it. You can start Darren Waller, but he is in the blob. There are multiple tight ends who might be available on the waiver wire that you can go get and start over him. Zach Ertz, Cole Kmet, Logan Thomas. I would start Tyler Conklin over Darren Waller. This offense is a mess. It's a nightmare. They really counted on Daniel Jones keeping up what he was able to do last season, and I completely missed the Daniel Jones neck injury. He is uncertain to play this weekend, and I believe actually he was ruled out since I started putting this together. Let me double check that. Daniel Jones has been ruled out as of yesterday, so do not start Daniel Jones. That will not be a workout for you. He will get 0 fantasy points. Probably still more than Mac Jones, though. Pause for laughter. Pause for more laughter. Okay. Is this a Gabe Davis game? That was my question because it feels like Gabe Davis games are happening with increasing frequency, mostly because he is scoring touchdowns, lots and lots of touchdowns. The Giants are 11th in fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. They have allowed 6 touchdowns to the position on the season, which does rank 4th, tied for 4th, with the Bears, Jags, Chargers, Steelers, Vikings, Raiders. So you can see it's like a Lions. It's a big group. So saying that they're 4th, they're also 11th. So it's a big group there. I do think that this is a Gabe Davis game, you know, but every week you rank them somewhere between a wide receiver 30 to 36. And, you know, if he does well, you look smart. If he doesn't, you look dumb. That's just kind of how it goes. You're still starting James Cook in this one, despite the bad week last week. You're still starting Stephon Diggs. Unless you're in a two wide receiver league and you also have Jamar Chase and Cooper Kupp, you are starting Stephon Diggs. Same with Josh Allen. Unless you're in a one quarterback league and you already started Patrick Mahomes. Not a lot to talk about in this game because you're smash starting all your Bills. You're not starting any of your Giants if you can help it. Don't start any Giants wide receiver. And I will go so far as to say don't roster any Giants wide receiver because it is going to be a mess every week. Especially this week, we've got Tyrod Taylor in a revenge game. I don't know, man. Giants are, coming for that number one spot. Call them ludicrous because they are coming for that number one spot in the draft. But they'll have to get through two Bears picks to get there. So now let's move on to Monday Night Football and a division mate of the New York Giants. And we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Chargers. Cowboys are 3-2. Chargers are 2-2. Dallas 2-point favorites, 51-point over under. This comes on the heels of the Cowboys getting shellacked by the 49ers. They get a primetime redo. And honestly, it'd be very funny if Kellen Moore revenge game got the Cowboys shellacked again. Injuries in this one, Austin Eckler, he's back, folks. He's off the injury report. Justin Herbert, who's dealing with a broken finger. We kind of forgot about it because it happened right before the bye. He practiced in full this week. So it's on his non-dominant hand, it's the middle finger. So it sounds like he is good to go. The Cowboys, Kevontae Turpin was a full participant in practice. He scored the only touchdown last week for them. Tony Pollard was dealing with a shoulder injury. He's good to go. Peyton Hendershot went on IR with an ankle injury. And Leighton Vander Esch, linebacker, who's always hurt with neck injuries, hurt with another neck injury. Stinks. He might miss the next four games. CJ Goodwin suffered a torn pec in the loss to the 49ers last week, and he is out for this one. Before I get into anything, I'm going Chargers in this game. Teams that played against the 49ers are like 2-15 in their last like 15 games in the week following playing the 49ers. So I'm going to go Chargers in this one. Let's start with my question, which is Quentin Johnson. This is actually, I don't have any in-depth analysis because I'm trying to see, you know, Mike Williams, we didn't have him last week. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. We didn't have him 2 weeks ago. And it was kind of a weird game. I mentioned it earlier, Justin Herbert only threw the ball like 22, 23, 24 times. Barely threw the ball. It was a knockdown, drag-out game with the Raiders. Aiden O'Connell was starting. It wasn't a quote-unquote normal game. This is going to be a quote-unquote normal game. Borderline shootout. So I want to know if all three of these guys, QJ, Josh Palmer, Gerald Everett, are the beneficiary of no Mike Williams, or if it is just one of them, who is it going to be? Josh Palmer is the early leader in the clubhouse, had 8 targets 2 weeks ago without Mike Williams in the mix. I do think that Gerald Everett will also see an uptick, especially in this game, because Gerald Everett is a yak beast. George Kittle caught the ball 3 times last week, and each time he ran until he was in the end zone. And, Gerald Everett is not as talented a pass catcher as George Kittle, but he is very close to him in terms of his yards after the catch ability. He is very difficult to bring down. He's 8th in the league among tight ends with at least 10 catches in yards after catch per reception. So very good player. And like I said last week, there were 3 tight end catches against the Cowboys. They all went for touchdowns. Granted, I don't think they're going to run 18 Gumby against them. Which was the trick play that got George Kittle the touchdown. I do not think the Chargers are going to run that. But we saw last week on full display the bad tight end defense of the Cowboys. Walker's question is, Jake Ferguson risen to the top of the blob? Not really. I don't think so. He really only has one, game where he's been great. 7 for 77 against New England. Took him 7 targets to get there. Before that, 5 for 48. That's a blob game. And then around those two games, 3 for 28, 3-for-11, 2-for-11. I don't think Jake Ferguson has reached the top of the blob. Obviously, since Walker's asking this question, they think differently. Oh, Jake Ferguson, 13th for Walker this week. So I do think Jake Ferguson's still a blob tight end. If you want to call last week's Cowboys-Niners game a burn the tape game for the Cowboys, then, you know, maybe 77 for 77, 5 for 48. Those are definitely middle to upper tier blob games. I just don't think he's risen that far. Like, there are still four or five guys in the blob that I'd rather have than Jake Ferguson. Like, you know, like Logan Thomas, I would say, is an upper blob guy. Cole Kmet's an upper blob guy. Zach Ertz is an upper blob guy. Darren Waller is, by unfortunate circumstance, he dropped down. Kyle Pitts, same story. He's an upper blob guy. So I think that Jake Ferguson is not an upper blob guy. I think that he is just middle blob, which is still good. Still a guy you should have on and around your roster. All right, so for starting in this game, I would say start your Josh Palmers. Definitely start your Keenan Allens. That's a smash start. Same with Justin Herbert, smash start. Staying with Austin Eckler. Gerald Everett is a streamer. On the other side, CeeDee Lamb, Tony Pollard, those are your guys you're going to start in this game. If you're desperate, Walker does have Jake Ferguson as an upper blob player. Dak Prescott is hands off for me right now. I want to see it before I put him back in there. So thanks for listening, everybody. I do appreciate you bearing with us as I roll solo for this one. It's a shorter pod. Turns out when only one person is talking, podcast is half the length. So for me, myself, and I, thanks for listening. Take care. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Football Absurdity Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at FBallAbsurdity. Jeff is at Jeff Crisco, K-R-I-S-K-O. Walker is at Big Daddy Drix with an X. Mike is RFL Red Zone. Please check out our website, footballabsurdity.com, for weekly ranks, start sits, sleepers, gambling advice, and more. Please also check out our youtube.com/footballabsurdity for our weekly start sit show on Sunday mornings, as well as our Saturday morning Gamble Town show and our Thursday night Farceball live stream. Please also check out our Discord. A link to that is at the top of footballabsurdity.com. We also have a Patreon where you can find our Tuesday episode where we review each episode. That can be found at patreon.com/footballabsurdity. Thank you for listening.